chapter 10, if I can get myself going here. I want to preach today. You know, it's prom season. Aren't proms wonderful? Proms are so wonderful. They get such an opportunity for the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. Look at my prom dress, boys. You know, not ever could figure out. Man, they got a long way down to the floor, but they just up down to here. I don't understand that. Somehow the scissors got mixed up on the wrong end. Amen? And so they go to prom. I'm going to preach this morning on dancing with devils. The devil, he likes to dance. And I'm going to tell you one thing. But when you're done dancing with the devil, you're going to pay the fiddler. Amen. You're going to pay the fiddler. Now, we're preaching through the book of 1 Corinthians. And we're at chapter 10. And we looked there last week at the situation where what's going on. He's trying to get them straightened out. A lot of issues here. This church at Corinth there. And he's telling them, you know, listen, you're going down there and buying meat at the market, and some of that meat's been offered to idols, and some of you don't want to eat that meat, and some of you think they're a wicked sinner because they bought that meat, and so forth. And he goes into all this, and he's saying, hey, you know, if you know that there's one God, you don't have to worry about eating that meat. You can eat that meat. But if it offends my brother to eat that meat, he said, I won't eat that meat. And he said, basically, he's just trying to let you know that, hey, the immediate context of this whole thing was that an idol is nothing. That's what he said there in verse 8, chapter 8, verse 4, chapter 10, verse 19. And eating that meat offered to it was not in and of itself wicked or sinful. But if it violated your conscience or it weakened another brother, you might ought to think about what you're doing. And now what he's saying is, in any area of life, in any activity, you might want to think about it. Is this hurting somebody's walk with God? Now, you can go to the extreme on that. Pretty soon you got to say, hey, if you don't like pork, you don't like pork, okay? But don't keep me from eating pork. I mean, yeah, hallelujah. But you just, you know, pretty soon you just kind of got to get over it going down the road. But, you know, if there's things that you can do that would offend somebody or cause them to be weak in the faith, God, he's saying here, listen, think about that and consider other people. It's the law of love. And that our conduct and behavior should be guided by the principle of love toward God and toward other people. But he said we need to avoid conduct that would cause a brother to stumble and or that would turn the lost away from Christ. Now, he's going to kick in now at this point with last week we talked about being overthrown in the wilderness. So he moves from there, and it's really interesting now. He's talking about eating meat offered to idols and these gods and so forth. By the way, we have a young lady that's a missionary to Nicaragua. Did I say that halfway right? What's your name, young lady? Sarah? Well, Sarah, we're glad to have you here. You going to be around tonight? Would you like to take 5 minutes and talk about your missionary work? Possibly. You'll pray about it at least. Okay. If you're here tonight, you kind of plan on that. Like if you tell church what's going on in your life. Don't have time this morning, but it's glad you're here with the Sutton family. All right. Now, so what he's doing, he's coming down through. He talked about what got him overthrown. Like what he does, he goes all the way back to the New Testament and gives you case example after case example. What caused these people a lot of trouble with God and what just really messed their lives up and their homes and families and their life and their nation up. Then he's going to move, then he moves down and he talks about how God chastened them and how God dealt with them. Now, when we're going to pick it up this morning at verse 14, because that's where we left off last week. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, he says to do something. He's just talking about eating meat that's offered to idols. They're living in an idolatrous culture. He said, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Now, you got to underline that, because idolatry is thick in America. Thick, thick, thick. It's everywhere around you. And verse 15, I speak to wise men, judge what I say. He said, listen, go back in the Old Testament. See what happened to them when they went to worshiping idols. And see how God dealt with that. He said, I'm trying to help you. I ain't trying to hurt you. Can I say something to you? My preaching is always to help you, never to hurt you. Amen. Never. Never. I have never one time got up in my life behind this pulpit or any other pulpit with the intent of hurting anybody. And Paul wasn't either. Now, they didn't like hearing what some of the stuff he said. But sometimes you got to hear things that you don't want to really hear. I'm glad I heard something one day that I didn't want to hear, that I was a sinner separated from God by my sin. And, you know, good news never meant to be good news to you until you've heard the bad news. But I tell you, I'm glad some old preachers got up and talked about hell and preached on hell. And that's where you're headed if you don't get saved. And that made me get interested in the Savior. And then I found out there was a life that could be lived that didn't have to be the cesspool and sewer lagoon of this world, and I'm thankful for that. Now, he comes in verse 16. He's going to change gears here now. Watch what he says. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh. He said, look back at Israel. Are they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? He's talking about the priesthood there. The priests labored. They could eat the meat out that was brought, so forth. And so he said, verse 19, what say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the thing, now here's where he really shifts gears. Now you pay attention here, because this is serious business. He's going to say this to him. He said, you know, I went easy on you about all this idol meat and all this stuff you're doing and everything. You know, it's not your salvation. Just try not to offend each other. Try to consider each other. But so I'm going to tell you something real serious about this now. That behind all this idol business you're around every day and you're tinkering with, there's devils. And lots of them. And if you're not careful, church, he said there, you're going to be dancing with them and it's going to destroy you. Just like it destroyed the people earlier in that chapter, the nation of Israel. And so here's what he could say. He said, I say, verse 20, the things that the Gentiles sacrifice. Now you watch this. They sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have, now, first of all, they had sacrifice to devils. Now it's going to be fellowship with devils in verse 20 there. No, verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. So you have sacrifice to devils, fellowship with devils, the cup of devils. And then he said, you cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? I'd tell you right now, you don't want to provoke God to jealousy. Okay? Are we stronger than he? Lord, help me to preach today in Jesus' name. Help me, God, I pray. I need your help. Amen. What he's saying here is this. Yes, you're living in a cosmopolitan, wicked, worldly culture, and you're going to have to deal with a lot of things. And you are just like this. I mean, everywhere around you is pornography. Everywhere around you is sensuality. Everywhere around you is liquor, drugs, stupidity, idiocy, ungodliness, wickedness. And you're around it. And it's everywhere you're coming in touch with. You cannot escape that. We're in the world, but not of the world. But he said this. He said, one thing I want you to know. When you look over there and they said they sacrificed that meat to that idol, he said, behind that idol and involved in that idol is a devil. And he said, it's nothing for you to play with in your life. And so we're going to take off from this thought there. He said, there's something more here. Behind that idol is a devil. And he said, there's a spiritual realm that is dangerous to play with or be around. There are some things that may, watch this, may seem harmless enough. You might be able to handle it. But the warning here is that you better be alert, or that little deal you're messing with, you're dancing with, could get you into terrible, terrible trouble. Now, we're going to do something this morning. I want you to take your Bibles very quick. Maybe you don't want to, but Leviticus chapter 20, we're going to go back and do a study on these. It wasn't just an arbitrary thing that Paul said, hey, they sacrificed to devils, they had fellowship with devils, they had cup of devils, they had the table of the devils. He said, you can't do that and be with God either. I don't know what happened last time. We already got the devil stirred up. Amen, amen. All right, Leviticus chapter 20, God gave his people some instructions. Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 6, the Bible said, and the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits, underline that, and after wizards. You ever heard of Harry Potter? Did you know Harry Potter invaded the entire culture of the world? And you know what God is saying? You stay away from that stuff. If you've got a Harry Potter book in your house, get it out. Burn it. Don't give it to somebody. Don't sell it. Burn that sucker. I'm telling you, he said, behind this idol, behind this stuff you think may be innocent, is devils that are not innocent, and they will take you down. He said they have familiar spirits after wizards. They go whoring after them. That's a special word, a whoring after them. Remember that God said in 1 Corinthians 10, he said, you can't have the cup of the devils and the cup of the Lord. You can't sit at the table of the devil and the table of the Lord. You can't have fellowship with them and have fellowship with me. You cannot offer sacrifice unto them and offer sacrifice to me. You can't have it both ways, God is saying. You're going to either sacrifice to the devil or you're going to sacrifice to me. You're going to have communion with Satan. You're going to have communion with me, fellowship, and so forth. And it's all involved in worship. A table of the devil, of devils, a cup of the devils, communion of the devils, fellowship with the devil, sacrifice. That's all religious. Now, he said in verse 27 of that same chapter, a man or woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. Now, I know people don't believe that these days, but that's what your Bible says. And if we had a biblical law system in America, that would be a death penalty situation, messing with familiar spirits or with a wizard. Now, go to take your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. And I'm going to lay a foundation. I'm going to try to preach fast. Please pray that I can keep focused. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse number 10, the Bible said, "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire." That is the whole deal with Moloch and all that. And by the way, as far as I'm concerned, we're doing it today. The abortion industry. What do they put in that saline solution? And there's other issues I could mention, but we'll go there now. He said, "I don't want you doing that. I don't want you to use divination, an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch." That means don't mess with Nancy Pelosi. I say that in jest, but it's true. You listen to me. We got witches in this country, and they're in high places. I mean, they're in witchcraft. They're under the influence and power of Satan. It's devils. It's not just a political difference. Verse number 11, or a charmer, or consulter, or familiar spirits, or wizard, or necromancer. Now, if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 32, oh, you say, "Reggie, why are you doing this?" Well, by the time Paul wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he's telling about all these people sacrificing to devils in the Old Testament and what happened to them, and he's warning them about it. I'm giving you what God said about it before they ever did it. God gave them the law. He said, "Don't you ever mess with witchcraft, familiar spirits, wizards, and any of that junk, horoscopes, and all that trash, and all that junk. Don't mess with it. Stay away from it." Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse number 17, the Bible says here that they sacrificed unto devils and not to God. When you get into Isaiah, and don't turn there right now, but Isaiah then said later, so here's, watch this, here we go, watch. God brought the children of Israel up out of the land of Egypt, gave them laws and statutes and judgments, and one thing I'm going to tell you, don't mess with witchcraft, don't mess with wizards, don't mess with necromancers, don't mess with all this junk and familiar spirits, don't have nothing to do with this. And he said, anybody does that stuff should be killed. So they go up here, and what they did, they got inside the country and started doing it. Now, here's how they did it. They didn't just start off and say, "Well, we're leaving God and we're going to go to all this sacrifice to devil business." They said, "We're going to go to church, but we're also going to do this. We're going to do both of them, keep God happy, but we're going to get into this." Now, I want to tell you something. Of all this sacrifice to these devils, they've been involved in immorality, heinous, vile, wicked, foul, nasty stuff, okay? Basically, I've been to over in Corinth, where this book was written, okay? You know what they had up on the hill? There's a prostitute temple up there. Had over 1,000 prostitutes in it. You could sacrifice to these devils that Paul's talking to you about in this book, and you could go up there and have church and enjoy a prostitute while you were there. He's not joking. This is not just Bible something. This is real stuff they were dealing with. These were people who are claiming to get saved. Well, can I still go to the prostitute temple? I mean, I'm worshiping. No, he said, you can't do that. He said, I don't mind you eating meat that's been offered to an idol up there, but he said, that's as far as you go with this. He said, you don't keep messing around. He said, you'll be starting dancing with devils then. There are some things that we've got to deal with and get along with. There's some things we might dispute about. We don't have a clear deal in Scripture. There's some things you don't mess with, and I'm going to get into these things pretty soon. But he's saying, here's what happened. They come up there, so they started out, we're going to still worship God, but we're going to worship devils. God got up there, God punished them. How did he punish them? Took them out of the country, sent them into slavery, killed their nation, scattered them. Can I tell you, if you read your Bible real close, that when he did that, those people came in that country, they ripped the mothers up with babies. They took their baby kids like you've got right here and slung their heads against stones. Did you know they starved them? They seized the city and starved them. There's over 1 million people. Then they took them outside and lighted the highways up with crosses with Jews on them and poured them over with the tar and lit them so they would be lights for the traveling Romans and the Assyrians and everybody else who was in there. It's not a really big picnic, folks. We're talking about that God said, don't provoke me to jealousy. Messing around with your devils and doing stuff you think is all right and trying to worship me while you're worshiping the world. I ain't going to put up with it. And we'll tell you a little something about America. Now, my gift is prophecy, okay? And when I say that, I do not prophesy new stuff. Nobody does that. But a New Testament prophet is one who proclaims what God has already said. And he does it with a warning. He does it with a loving admonition. Please listen to me. What you're messing with will get you. If you mess with Ouija boards, they will get your family. Anyway, I can't take off there yet. But then you get up into 2 Chronicles when the nation split. Jeroboam did not want him going back up to Jerusalem to worship for fear he'd lose his political power. So you know what he did? He set up calf worship. It's not an accident that artists portray Satan with horns, hooves, and a tail, because they worshiped calves. That's exactly what back in the Old Testament that Aaron did with their deal. And so it's a picture, it's a type of Satan. And I don't understand all the connection about it, but I can tell you it is there. So God sent him out into captivity. So now you come up to the New Testament. The Apostle Paul is saying, hey, you want to learn something? Go back in the Old Testament. See what happened to Israel. God told them to start with, don't have anything to do with these devils. Don't sacrifice to them. Don't mess with them. They did it. And then God chastised them and punished them and sent them into captivity. He said, I'm telling you something. Don't provoke God to jealousy here. Or he'll nail your hide about this. Now you listen to me. All over this country this morning, while you're setting this church, there are families all over America who have danced with devils, and it's cost the daylights out of them. It's cost the daylight. There are churches dancing with the devil, and it's cost the daylights out of them. Now, the Bible said, you can say, well, Reggie, what's wrong with a little bit of this? What's wrong with a little bit of that? Well, I'm going to tell you something. God says if you're dancing with the devil, you say, Reggie, what's the devil's goal? Just think about it. It's to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so his goal is to steal your worship and to steal the truth out of your heart and to steal obedience out of you, and then he'll kill and destroy you or your family. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that we are not ignorant of his or Satan's devices. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, that's no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. It is no marvel, therefore, that his ministers, are you listening to me? His ministers are transformed into ministers of righteousness. You will listen to preachers preach and people teach, and you will think, man, they got it together. I really like the sound of that. They're pretty cool. I'm going to embrace that. And God says, oh, ho. The only way to keep you out of that is by staying by this book. Ephesians chapter 6 says that we're not, he said, having done all, stand. He said, against the wiles of the devil. He said, he's got devices. He's got wiles. He's got way of fooling you. He'll make you dance with him. Can I tell you that Satan will never come at you when you're with the horns and a pitchfork? The law first mentioned of anything in the Bible is very important. Leviticus 17:17, don't turn there now. Leviticus 17:7 tells us, is the first mention of devils in the Bible. And here's what God said. He said, when you build that, he said, when you got that tabernacle, he said, when you come to worship, now watch this. He said, when you come to worship, he said, you come to the door of the tabernacle, bring your lamb, bring your sacrifice. And he said, you will go, and he said, the access to worship and spirit of truth is by the door. Now in the New Testament, you know who that is. Jesus said, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Go in and I find pasture. And in that context, in the seventh verse of Leviticus 17, where he taught that, he said, if you don't come through the door, to the door, and through the door, you are sacrificing to devils, and I will curse your worship. Whoa! Now, here's the truth about that. Here's what God is saying. You're going to worship my way, or you're going to worship Satan. Did you know, I feel sorry for atheists. They don't even know they're worshiping the devil. They don't even know they're worshiping the devil. God is saying that if you don't worship through Jesus Christ, the door, I'm the way, the truth, the life, no man comes to the Father but by me. He said, you're not just neutral. You're not just benign. You are sacrificing. You are doing exactly what Satan wants you to do. I'm going to give you something before we get going too far. If you don't think this is serious, did you know that your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Satan even tried to get Christ to dance with him? By the way, the three things that he tempted, the three songs that he played for the dance, they're the same songs that Satan's going to play for you. And by the way, part of them will be to give you money if you'll turn away from God. He told Jesus Christ, I'll give you the kingdoms of this world. People like to hear that song. You mean you'll increase my prosperity? You'll increase my enjoyment, my pleasure? You'll increase my material goods if I'll hook up with you and dance with you a little? Yeah. Anyway, that's the law of first mention. So here's the important issue. The idol, or in this case, the calf back there, or the institution or the organization or the program is only a smokescreen for what's behind it, and that's devils. You say, well, I don't believe in devils. Well, you don't believe the Bible then. One man in Mark chapter 5 had 2,000 devils in his body. 2,000. It's what's behind the idol. It's what's behind the institution. It's what's behind the organization that you need to watch for. The Hebrew word for devil is means a shaggy, hairy, goat-like God. Years ago, I preached a message, I don't mean what it was, but I had a slide up here of the album cover of Uriah Heep. They were a rock and roll bunch back in my day. And it was a devil. They had painted that album cover. Awful, and it was exactly like the Bible describes the definition of a devil. A hairy goat-like God. By the way, I'm thinking right now just about Ozzy Osbourne, who would, at concerts, eat bats, live bats. Take a bat and bite his head off during the and squirt the blood out over the kids out in front of me doing all this stuff. Looks like a modern-day church service. Yeah. Don't talk to me about this stuff. I know what I'm talking about. I didn't come in on the last load of things. I was born in 53. I was raised in the 60s. I was raised in the 70s. I was raised when this nation did a backflip on God. I was raised when this nation turned away from God. And I saw the results. I don't need anybody. I don't need some 10-cent, queer-looking preacher telling me about contemporary worship services. I don't need it. They're damning souls to hell, and they're worshiping devils. I am telling you, you better listen to me. You say, Reggie, I don't like that. I don't like you. You just wait till judgment day. That's what Paul's telling them. He's saying, you ain't just messing around with something, kid. You're messing around with something to destroy you, and you're going to provoke God to anger because he's not going to have you worshiping that junk in him too. Now you say, Reggie, now think about this for just a minute. What would the average church attribute the deadness, the coldness, no one being saved? By the way, we're having a baptism next Sunday afternoon, and Brother Fitzpatrick out in Oklahoma, the baptism is next Sunday. So if you want to bring those basketballs, come up here next Sunday. I thought to tell you that. What would cause a church to be dead, to be cold, no one saved? The church becomes worldly, full of sin. What's the answer to it? Oh, we need a new pastor. That's what a lot of them will say. Well, they say we need a new building, or we need a remodel. Or we need to get some new entertainers in. Or we need some new programs. We need some clowns and some candy. And we need some fun and games. We need a new youth program. Or maybe we need to modernize and have a contemporary worship service and then our old regular traditional service later. That's what's going on. Do you know why they've had to move to this stuff? Because they're dead. And so because they don't have the living God and the living Holy Ghost, they've got to come up with all these man-made ways of pulling people in and making them feel that something's going on around here. How many realize that there's devils behind the scenes of this stuff? The problem is people dancing with devils. The theme here Paul is talking about is separation. Now, I said separation. I did not say isolation. Unto God and from the world, God of this world, Satan is devils. Satan is, I believe, an archangel. One of three mentioned, Lucifer, Gabriel, Michael. The Bible teaches that he has a third of the angels in heaven that went out with him, cast out with him, following him. I believe these are the devils, these spirits, these angels that are spirits. And he organizes and he dispatches them in a military style of authority. There are three great deliverances in the Bible. And there's two conditions to all three deliverances. Number first, great deliverance is when the children of Israel were delivered out of the land of Egypt. The second great deliverance is when Jesus Christ died on the cross and was delivered for our offenses and our trespasses, rose from the dead, and now delivers you and I from the kingdom of darkness. And the third great deliverance will be when Christ comes to rapture the church out and take us out of this world. Now, in all three of those deliverances, there are two things in common. Number one is the murder of innocent babies. When Moses, children of Israel, was delivered out of the land of Egypt, they massacred the babies. Whenever Jesus was here delivering us from our sins, they massacred the babies. You and I are living on the brink of the third great deliverance. I'm telling you, I'm listening for the trumpet while I preach this morning. We've had a slaughter of babies since 1973. And the second thing is an increase in devilish, demonic activity. Pharaoh's men could throw their rods on the ground and make serpents out of them too. There was demonism in Egypt like nobody's business. When Jesus Christ came on this earth, the second great deliverance, every day of his life, if you read the scriptures, he was dealing with demon-possessed devils everywhere he went. He jumps right out of Matthew chapter 4. And before that chapter's over with, he's dealing with demon-possessed people. And the third great deliverance we've seen since 1960, when this country elected its first Catholic president, with an influx of demonism in this land. Every false religion you know about is a demonic infestation of devils. When this country preached out of the authorized King James Bible, When we preach Christ and Him crucified, risen from the dead. When we acknowledge that Jesus Christ was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When we didn't have Muslims on every corner. When we didn't have a Mormon on every corner. When we didn't have a Jehovah Witness on every corner. When we didn't have Buddhists and Hindus and all the other satanic garments you can imagine. I'm telling you, every one of those I mentioned are devils behind them. Devils behind them. Who would come up with such garbage? Who would come up with that Jesus Christ is not God? Who would come up with He wasn't virgin born? Who would come up with that He's not sinless? Who would come up with that stuff? I tell you who, the devil. You listen to this preacher this morning, we're dancing with devils in this nation. You say, Brother Kelly, what do devils want? Let me tell you what he wants from you this morning. Now it's easy for me to talk about all this junk out yonder. But what does he want from you and what does he want from me? Let me tell you, I know what he wants from me, Brother Ralph. He wants to mess me up. Karen, I love you. You're the best wife a man could ever dream of having. But I'll tell you what's my problem, honey. The devil wants to mess us up. He wants after 37 years for me to blow a gasket, Danny. That's what he wants. Danny, after 37 years, he wants you to blow a gasket. And I'm telling you, listen to me, the further you go, dear mom and daddies in this church, please listen to me, the further you go. And the harder you try to raise your kids for God, the more Satan's going to attack you and your family. The easy days are when they're little kids about your feet. Job said, oh, when my children were about me. But it's when they get to be teenagers and they start being tempted and really deciding, what do I believe? And the lures of the world starts hitting them and the lies of the world and the desire to have a mate and all these kind of stuff starts hitting them. That's when the devil's going to come in on your family. It's not a game. They want your worship. What did Satan want out of Jesus? If thou wilt fall down and worship me, Satan said in Isaiah 14, I will be like the Most High. What is like the Most High? The whole world is to worship the Lord God. He wants your worship. There's a lot of worship to the devil. Better be careful about that. Behind all the sin and disobedience to God is worship to the devil. When you and I are disobedient to God, we're worshiping the devil according to your Bible. It ain't one. You don't get it to have both ways. What does Satan want from you? He wants worship. Let me give you just a little fast illustration. It's Sunday morning. And man, it's nice outside. We're going to be a pretty day. Be a good day to go fishing. Hey, every one of you people that claim to be saved and you're fishing, you are worshiping Satan as you sit in your boat and put your worm on your hook. Yeah. Oh, he said it'd be a good day to go play around the golf. Every time you put that ball on that tee, you are worshiping the devil. You're doing exactly because he has robbed God of your worship. You claim to be saved. Woo! We're in amen territory now, aren't we? That's exactly the truth. Let me tell you something. I'm telling you this. Satan wants your worship. And you dance with him, he's going to destroy you and your family. Getting you to reject Jesus Christ is the way of salvation accomplishes his desire. And let's not forget that 1 Corinthians 10 was written in the context of Christianity. The second question, do devils exist? Four times they're mentioned in the Old Testament. When you get in the New Testament, 76 times in the New Testament, devil or devils is mentioned, and that does not count the direct references to Satan himself. What powers do devils have? In Matthew chapter 9, they cause dumbness or no speech. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 22, they cause blindness. They can cause blindness. In Luke chapter 8, they can cause insanity and nakedness and unrest and crying and cutting and bondage. By the way, God calls addiction, what we call addiction, God calls bondage. They can cause depression according to Mark chapter 9. They can cause suicidal thoughts. They cause worry. The Bible said that he pineth away when the man was describing his son. He said he pineth away. Our old timers used to call it pining. That's what we call depression. We're down and out. We're just had it. We're sick of everything. We can't take life anymore. Let me tell you something. If we'd understand that a lot of our depression garbage is coming from the bowels of hell, I'm going to tell you, coming from a pill, we'd understand we need to go to God and get on our knees and fast and pray and get along with God so God takes us up out of that mess hole. Amen. In Luke chapter 8, the supernatural strength that the demon-possessed man would break chains and fetters. In Luke 13, because physical defects and deformities whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 38 years, Jesus said Satan caused that. The Bible said in Luke chapter 11, they can come and go at will in a person. They can leave a person and then come back. You say, Reggie, what purposes do they use in people? Romans chapter 6 says that they become instruments of unrighteousness. 1 Timothy chapter 4 says they proclaim and promote doctrines of devils and seducing spirits, and they draw people away from the truth. And that's exactly what's going on. The Bible said in the last days, he said that they'll have the doctrines of devils and they'll seduce people. In other words, they'll pull them away from this Bible. That's what's going on. 2 Peter chapter 2, the Bible says they'll preach damnable heresies. What the Bible said these devils will do. You kids, listen to me. You kids raised here. Let me tell you what goes on in this church. Now, I've been here since the get-go, all right? And I'll tell you what, you think I'm kidding. When I told God, if I surrender to preach, I ain't messing around about it. And I don't ever want to be afraid to preach what needs to be preached. Now, let me tell you what goes on. A lot of the church people that comes in this church are people whom God saved before they ever got here. God did a great work of grace and gave them a desire to raise their families and their children differently than they were raised. You listen to me. So they come in here, they bring you in, and you're being born and you're growing up in these pews. Well, you've sat here all your life and you've heard me preach. Now, you listen to me. Did you know one of the types of spirits is called a deaf spirit? Did you know what we've got in this church? I'm not talking about some other church. In this church, we have a demonic, devilish, deaf spirit in this church. What that means is that you kids sit here and listen to me Sunday after Sunday, but you don't hear a word I say. Don't hear a word I say. Right here in this church. It's time for revival, folks. I'm just going to be honest with you. And I'm going to tell you what you're doing. With that deaf spirit sitting in this church, I mean, you're sitting there thinking, man, can I tell you there was a deaf spirit when I grew up at church? I said to myself, sitting in the back seat of Oak Forest Church, Danny, if I ever get out of here, if I grow up and get away from home, I ain't never coming back to church again. You know why I said that? Are you listening to me? Because I had a deaf, demonic spirit dealing with me. Guess what happened? I got saved. Wound up preaching there. I didn't leave nowhere when I got saved. But before I was saved, I went out of there. And some of you kids, you went out of here. I'm going to tell you kids something. Your mom and daddy's not your problem. And I'm not your problem. You're dancing with devils. That's your problem. You say, how do they operate? They have mediums, human bodies. Indwell human bodies. They have organizations and institutions, and they particularly work in religion, as I mentioned several holy ago. If you've never heard Sister Charlotte's testimony back in the 50s or 60s about the Roman Catholic Church, it would do you well someday to listen to it. The most vile, filthy stuff. She was a nun, Roman Catholic nun. At 16 years of age, she went to be a nun. Her daddy wept with joy. Her mother cried with joy that their daughter was going to be a cloistered nun. She was shipped off to start her nun training at 18 years of age. The first thing they did was strip her naked in front of a man, a priest. She wound up being virtually a sex slave for priests in a convent that she could not escape from. Let me tell you where abortion started long before 1973. She said she helped deliver babies that were conceived by nuns in that convent. And she said, here's how they killed every one of them. She said the Mother Superior would take her two fingers and put over the nose of that little bitty baby. Smother it to death. And they had bags of lime and a spot out in the back, down in the bowels of that convent. They took those babies and buried them and covered them with 4, 5, 6 inches of lime. She said, I can take you to the baby burial plots. You're talking about filth. You're talking about nastiness. You're talking about foul spirits right in the bowels of religion. Chiniquy, as a young priest, was training with another priest. And he said, I went into a home where a mother had lost her father and had lost her children to die, and she was bereaved. And we supposedly went there to be a comfort to her. And when she was there, the mother said, Father, would you please say Mass for my husband? And he said, well, what have you got to pay? And she said, I don't have anything. And he heard a pig grunt. And he said, well, don't you have a pig? Yeah, but I want to grow it up so I've got food. I'll take the pig for Mass. You don't give me the pig, we don't get no Mass. She wouldn't give the pig up, so he left. Chiniquy said, that's the first indication I knew I was in the wrong place with the wrong kind of business. And he said, two or three nights later, he said, we sat down at the priest's table to eat, and he said, there was pork on the table. And he said, I looked at that for a minute, and I said, where did that pork come from? He said, he wouldn't look at me, he wouldn't answer me. He said, I said, did that pork come from that woman's pig? He grinned and said, yeah, I got it. And that's when Charles Chiniquy, a Catholic priest, shoved himself back from the table, got up and said, I want no more to do with this, and wrote a book called 50 Years in the Church of Rome. It exposed the vile, demonic Catholic Church. And by the way, you say, where is your line? Have you not been hearing the news the last 5 years about how many countries and how many priests have turned up to be? I'll tell you right now, the Catholic priesthood is nothing but a den and a cage of every foul spirit. They're sodomites. They're child molesters. They're pedophiles. I don't care if your uncle's one. I'd get out. If I wasn't one, I'd get out. Amen. That's why I don't get many revivals. You say, Reggie, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the vacuum that's been created by the godless and ungodly society. And by the way, these mediums are your TV, the internet, your Facebook, everything, magazines, music is a medium through which these demons can work on a person. And they're filled with an invasion from hell. This country is filled with an invasion from hell, preparing the way for the coming Antichrist, conditioning the minds and hearts of American people and the world for the Antichrist. You say, Reggie, what do you think is behind the educational system of America? Now, I don't care if you don't like this or not. You tell me who's behind. I don't want you praying. I don't want no Bible. We're going to teach evolution that God's a liar. We're going to teach sex education. We're going to promote sodomy. Hey, you think you can convince me that Jesus Christ is behind that? You can't. I'm going to tell you who's behind the educational system in America, and that's Satan himself. He is an absolute controller. Did you know that this week in New Jersey, both teachers' unions voted against and spoke against a bill that would criminalize a teacher having sex with a child in their school? Both NEA and the National Teachers Federation opposed that bill. They opposed a bill making it a crime for a teacher to sexually assault a child in the class. They're crazy. They're demonic. That's devilish. You mean to tell me that the teachers' unions in America, the public school teachers' unions, want teachers to be able to assault children in classrooms without a criminal penalty? I'm going to tell you right now, boy, I've been praying. I'm telling you right now, you may not understand me, but bless God Almighty, I tell you, He saved me and He called me, and I'm not backing up. Amen. If it cost me every friend in Norwood and every friend in Wright County, because the day of judgment is coming. Amen. You say, Richie, what's behind all the political, governmental, judicial wickedness in this land? A Supreme Court that rules that murdering a baby's fine, and governors saying it's okay to kill a baby just born out of the womb. What's behind the religious smoke screens in this country, the new Bibles, the new morality, and the new gospel? This not mentioning sin and don't offend us. Let me tell you, when this country, when you could unlock your doors and not worry about it, was when they preached on hell and preached on sin. But now we're not supposed to preach on nothing. We're supposed to be tolerant, receptive, not make anybody feel bad. We're supposed to kind of reason into the gospel somehow or another. It's sickening. And I believe we're provoking God to jealousy because He knows what we're doing. We are compromising. We are selling out. We are gone a-whoring after the devils of this world. Amen. I'm saying this. What's behind all the division in our churches? What's behind all the defilement? The Bible teaches that what's behind, let me tell you what's behind it, dancing with the devil. What's behind the hatred of preachers now in this country that preach the Word of God and preach the truth? Did you know back when I was a kid, to be honest with you, preaching like I was and considered to be normal fare. If they didn't get up and preach about sin and preach on righteousness and preach on the cross and preach on the blood and preach on separation, they thought there's a fake and a phony preacher. But now if you get up and preach on that, you're a cult. It's crazy. Is there what you want to do? Are you talking about dancing? Old John the Baptist got up one day and said, Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So they had a dance. A dance with the devil. Let me tell you where dancing with the devil is coming right now. In Maine, Brother Glidden, the queers up there have now, they're taking over the entire mental health department of that state. Right now, you've got a queer out of South Bend, Mayor of South Bend, Ohio, running for president. You've got a queer in California running for president. You've got a queer up here just got elected as mayor of Chicago, Illinois. This country is absolutely getting full of devils. I'm going to tell you something right now. This whole sodomite movement is just billions of, I mean, it's like billions of devils out of hell invading this land. And here's the deal. Just this week, down in San Antonio, the sodomites who are on the city council said that Chick-fil-A cannot have a deal in our deal. I mean, everybody else can, but not Chick-fil-A. Why? Because they gave to the Salvation Army? Because they believe that marriage is between a man and a woman? And I could go on and tell you how the queers are marching like this. And Brother Jeremy, if you live long enough, you will see the day, if this nation doesn't have revival, when there will be against the law for you to preach on sodomy. Danny, that's where we're headed. And I'll tell you right now, I'm going to die. If God killed me right now, I'm going to die preaching. We've got to stop this stuff. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I pray I'm preaching to the world. We've got to stop this thing. We're going to lose every freedom we ever had. These queers mean to stop the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what they mean to do. I want to ask you, you know what I want to ask them? Is stealing wrong? If I stole $50 off you, is that wrong? And they said, well, yeah. I said, well, who says it's wrong? In my eyes, your $50 belongs to me. I'm taking it. You don't have any law. You make it up as you go. I'll tell you what's a funny one. Ask two of them queers. Ask two of them queers if they think adultery's wrong. There's no more jealous people in the world than a couple of queers. And another queer gets to looking at his queer buddy. Oh, my goodness, they're about to kill him. So I ask him, you think adultery's all right? Well, no. Well, they won't answer. I said, well, you think it's all right if your daddy commits adultery on your mama? Well, no. I said, well, who says? Where's your rule book? Who says anything's wrong? Who says lying's wrong? I'm going to tell you something. That's why what I'm teaching you on Sunday morning here is important. You better get this Bible down. This is the ultimate and final authority on every issue of life there is. Anyway. John the Baptist was at a dance with the devil and they cut his head off. The idol of your child worship. You know what's killing American churches right now? It's child worship. I know you love your kids. I love mine. But I'm going to tell you right now, when my kids do wrong, it's wrong. Yeah. And you know what God did with Eli because he made the idols out of his sons? He said, I'm going to cut you off with the arm, and he said, you're done. And they were done. God says, you don't put your kids above me. Amen. The most dangerous thing, idol worship I see going on in America today is our kids. I've seen it over and over again in this church. I get up and preach on something, and well, your child's guilty of doing it. You get mad at me. You know what your problem is? Your problem's not me. Your problem is you're a child worshiper. And I guarantee you, I won't be nothing to what you're going to. Pretty soon you'll be going over to jailhouse and visiting them and doing everything else, and you'll be going to pen and visiting them. Don't make idols out of your children. I want to ask you this. What's behind the idol of sports? Cheerleaders wearing nothing? Beer? Sunday ball games? Yeah. I'll tell you, I hate liquor. I hate liquor. I have to, did anybody misunderstand me? I hate liquor. There's a reason the old timers used to call it spirits. Because the spirits will enter into you when you drink the junk. And they'll make you do stuff. Hey, you girls, wake up! There is a reason that dopey head idiot you're going out with wants you to drink a beer. Can any of you boys tell me why he wants her to drink a beer? Tell me. Get her drunk. I think it's more than that even. What's he trying to do? Break down her inhibitions. I'm going to tell you something. The liquor industry is full of devils. You can tell them Coors beer, Red Skull said Coors beer, Busch beer, Bud Light. I don't care what kind of beer you're drinking. It'll put devils in you. You'll open yourself up to devils and your drug culture. I'm going to tell you a little good news while I'm preaching on all this. Is that our Jesus Christ, the Christ of that Bible, has the power to deliver you from your drunkenness. You don't need a rehab program. What you need to do is repent, get away from that old crowd, fall in love with God, be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and then a revival in between time. Amen. That's right. And your drug deal. You say, Reggie, what's going on with this kind of drugs? Drugs are a conduit for devils. I mean, they are just literally a conduit. I'm going to tell you right now, you sorry low-down Wright County drug heads better not let me find out who's bringing the drugs in. I'm telling you something. Sheriff may not do nothing. The highway patrol may do nothing. But I'll tell you what, I'll sell it right from this pulpit. There's somebody in Wright County. Somebody in Wright County and Douglas County and Texas County is bringing the drugs in this county. Yeah. And if you drug heads think I'm scared of you, you lost your ever living mind. I ain't no more scared of you than I are the Muslims or anybody else. I got God on my side. And I will not die till God says it's time for me to die. But somebody needs to stop this drug trade. Can I just tell you drug heads what needs to happen to you? If you will not repent for selling drugs in this county, you need to be hung. Oh, some of you parents are getting tight now. You're a little tight. Because you don't want your boy hung. The sad part about it is, it's never be the big drug head that gets hung. It'll be the little fish, won't it? Let's just tell it like it is. The little fish will be the ones that get hung. But can I tell you that if we had one, if we could catch just one major drug head that's bringing the devils into this country, in this county, if we hung him on the Hartville Square by a tall tree and let him dangle there and made it compulsory for every school to be dismissed and go watch it, the drug business wouldn't be so good in Wright County. Yes, sir. This is old time preaching, whether you like it or not. This is it. This is it. Just to be honest, this is what we're going to have. And by the way, if every church in this country would rise up and say it's enough, and make it so hot in their churches, who's behind the entertainment business? Hollywood, the soaps, the talk shows, the sex and the violence, the TV, the videos, the gambling, the lotto, and the lodge. Oh, don't you want to be hooked up with the lodge? You can't even speak Jesus' name when you go in there. Don't you want to be hooked up with a lodge that calls God the great architect in the universe? Don't you want to be hooked up with a lodge that says if you tell their little dirty secrets, they'll cut your throat from ear to ear and pull your tongue out by its throat, by its roots? Sounds like a neat deal to go into, doesn't it? You know why? Did you know why I've got a bunch of men and even some preachers in this country is against me hard? I mean, they fight me every way they can. I mean, they whisper constantly. It's because I'm standing against the lodge. The lodge has been one of the greatest opponents of this church in this country. Amen. You'd be surprised how many preachers are lodge members. And they won't say squat in their church because old Big Joe back there, he gives a big amount of money and, you know, he'd be a big deal. He's a grand wizard, whatever. He's the one they go in there and fall down worship, call him, you know, worshipful master. You tell me that's got anything to do with Christianity to walk into lodge down here in Norwood, Missouri, or Mount Grover, anywhere else, and fall down with a blindfold on your face, and they take the blindfold off your face, and you're supposed to call him worshipful master? That's idolatry! That's sacrifice, cups, communion, and the table of devils! Let me tell you something I know. I can go hold a revival meeting, Brother Ralph, and this is honest truth. Years ago, and I'd go hold revival meetings. After one night, I could tell where there was a lodge-controlled church. A lodge-controlled church is so dead, so rigid, so So 4 miles, I mean, everything's cut and dried before you get there, and ain't no way the Holy Ghost of God's coming in there because they're going to resist it. Yeah. Devils. What's behind the music industry? Devils. I said this morning to Ozzy Osbourne, that slide he's got, album cover, got this little teenage boy laying on the, got a Bible under his arm. Now this is his album cover, okay, back years ago. I know they don't have that. They got this dead boy with his arm laying over a Bible. Behind him an upside down cross and a dead dove laying over here. Can anybody tell me what all that symbolism is about? He got that boy into his music. It destroyed. He died on the Bible that could have saved him. Upside down cross speaks of rebellion toward the cross of Calvary. And the dead dove with his neck hanging over speaks of the death of the influence of the Holy Ghost in that boy's life. They knew exactly what they were doing. It's no game. Some of you kids, you got some stupid music out there right now in your truck. You think you're going to dance with the devil. You think you're not going to pay. Bon Scott wrote a song called Highway to Hell, sung it all over America and the world. But one morning they found Bon Scott laying in his own vomit. Oh, the newspaper said he died of asphyxiation. Isn't that a nice sounding word? It's a nice sounding word for choking to death on your own stupid vomit when you're drug overdosed. All over this country right now, last night, Saturday night, you're not going to find out how many people died of drug overdose. Liquor choked out. Dead all over this nation. They're going to bury him. We're going to go on. This devil's destroying our country and our families. Some of you kids listen to the wrong kind of music. I promise you, you're dancing with the devil. Oh, mom, dad's gone. You're going to do this. Mom, dad's gone. You're going to do that. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't tell you who's going to pay the fiddler. You're going to pay the fiddler when he's done. And I tell you what he's going to do with you. Watch it. He's going to dance you around and you're going to say, oh, the pleasures of sin are wonderful for a season. And he's going to keep dancing you around. And he's going to dance you around. And right over here is the edge of hell. And all of a sudden, he's going to release that tender grip, and he's going to shove you and smirk while he throws you into hell. And he'll laugh! Another one bites the dust. You say, Reggie, what's behind all the lotto and gambling? Oh, isn't it interesting? We're supposed to buy lotto tickets to improve our educational system. Yeah, it's working. Who's behind all these idols of sex and immorality and fornication, adultery and sodomy in this country? I'm going to tell you something. You listen to me. You listen to me well. Karen and I went and watched that movie, Unplanned. And I don't care. They can all cuss me and say, well, she's a Catholic, and you do what you want to. I don't care. But I'm glad they made that movie realistic and tough. And I'm glad they told the truth about what's going on. But let me tell you what's behind the abortion industry, and that's the devils. Sacrificing their children to devils. But you know what? I come out of that place and I told Karen, we got in the car and I looked at her and I said, honey, manhood's gone in this country. The thing they missed in that movie, there's something missing in that movie. I don't know whether y'all caught this or not. The main thing's missing. You know what I'm fixing to say? You read my book. I'll tell you what it is. What's missing in this country is manhood. Caleb, I love you. You've been a fine young man to have in this church. But you'd be a man. And that means don't be trying to get some girl to do something with you shouldn't do. Where were the boys that were involved? Them girls didn't get pregnant by themselves. The thing that grieved me in that movie was the boys got off scot-free. Oh, they had a little bit about two boys, you know, running out. Once they get the girl in, the other boys bail out. They said, you know, I appreciated that. But the raw truth of it is that American manhood, biblical manhood, is so far gone that in our culture, it's cool for a guy. There ain't no repercussions. He doesn't carry any responsibility. It's all great. He can get a girl pregnant, get a girl pregnant, get a girl pregnant, get a girl pregnant. He just walks off, goes back down to the ball game, goes shoots game pool. Everything's great. But the girl, she's down at the abortion clinic. Blood dripping out of her. knowing she's killed somebody. And I am not apologizing for a girl making that decision. But you put yourself there. You're 16, 18 years old, and everybody you know is going to be, it's totally going to ruin your life, totally going to change your life. And your boyfriend says, go get it. Your daddy says, go get it. And your mama says, go get it. And so it's kind of like it's just a girl thing in America now. It's not a girl thing. And I'm going to challenge you boys. God help us. I am so ashamed of American manhood. Until we have a great deep repentance and change this culture where boys do not feel that it's manhood to go out and live like a dog. One time back, I'm trying to think, I got married in 77, so it would have been between 73 and 77. A man called me, and I went to where he lived. He's standing out in his yard, and he started crying. He said, Reggie, I got a girl pregnant, said she went to Kansas and got an abortion. Brother Phil, that man wailed. I got a dead daughter and a dead son. And I put my arm around him. He wailed all over that yard, just moving. We'll tell you boys something. Girls ain't the only one that hurts inside. And if you're so hard and you're so callous that it doesn't bother you to conceive a living child, let me give you a little something. God said to be fruitful and multiply was the first commandment in the Bible. Are you listening to me? God never gives a command without giving grace to fulfill that command. And he gave plenty of grace to have children. Grace is the desire and the power. But when you take that grace and turn it into lasciviousness, you're going to provoke God to anger. And you better listen to me, boys. Nobody has seen in this country yet what's going to happen on Judgment Day to men who were the fathers of these 60-some million aborted babies. Amen. You ain't never heard such wailing is going to go on when God makes those daddies look those children in the eye whom they murdered. You ain't never seen or heard nothing like it in your life. And I, for one, preacher, and Denny, I'm sick and tired of it all being a girl issue.
Yeah. Amen.
When it's not. It's exactly right. As far as I'm concerned, can I just tell you boys something? Most of these girls that you're seeing sit around here, they're dreaming of marrying a guy someday that loves them, cares about them, wants to start a home and a family with them. And in that desire, if they ain't careful, they'll just about do anything to achieve that purpose. And you'll take advantage of that. I'm preaching pretty straight at you this morning. But I want to tell you boys something. You are dancing with devils. And it is not going to be funny when Judgment Day comes. I've got to quit. It's 12:13. I'm probably halfway through. I just feel so burdened. I could go on here, but I'm not. And I'm not trying to be dramatic, I'm not nothing, but I'm going to tell you something. If this isn't real, we are in Lululand. And I I'm going to say this to you. Unless you've been called to preach, and unless you've been burdened to preach something like this, you don't know what. So don't judge me. Don't say, well, he's crying and he's going through all these emotions and all that stuff. And he's, don't judge me about it until you've been called, until you're supposed to preach. Then you come tell me what I'm doing wrong, okay? But until then, why don't you shut your mouth? And I'm going to preach what God put on my heart to preach. As long as it's aligned with this book, I feel fine. I feel fine. And I just want to tell the young people of this church, you may think I'm mean, and I guess I am. I love you. I want to see you happy. I want to give you some advice to some of the families here. Daddies, don't be too hard on your daughters. Don't try to make your kids make you look good. Your daughter would like to be married someday. Don't make her think that there's nobody out there good enough for her. I know there's nobody out there good enough for your daughter. I understand that. Okay? But don't make her feel like that you're never going to let her get married to anybody. Someday they're going to have to get out of the nest. I don't know how to do it. I'd like that I could write a book on failures as a daddy and everything else. But all I know is that, you know, Karen and I met, we wanted to get married. Be careful, because if you clamp down and put the fence too tight around your family, I'll tell you what, they won't bust out on you. You listen to me? Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, I pray that you help us. Help me to not dance with the devil. Help me to recognize, Lord, that he'll throw me off the platform the first chance he gets. But I can't get by with it with you. Lord, you look at it as unfaithfulness and spiritual adultery. God, help us to recognize the mediums and the ways that the world has to try to get us to dance with the devil. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, I pray right now and plead the blood of Jesus Christ against the devils that would try to destroy the marriages of this church. I pray, oh God, I plead the blood of Christ against the devils of hell. That, Lord, that us husbands would love our wives and do right by them and love them. I pray, Lord, that you'd keep husbands, keep me, keep all of us away from adulterous thoughts. Any kind of stupid junk, Lord, that would hinder our relationship and fellowship with you and with our spouse. I pray, oh God, that you'd keep our children, that all of them would be saved. None of them would go to hell. I pray, God, that our hearts would be turned toward our children so that the children's hearts could be turned toward us. I pray, God, that we'd not try to make our home a monastery. But God, a garden where they can grow and flourish and be who you made them to be and what you made them to be. God, I pray for America. And I pray, God, that you help us to be the salt and light. Lord, we've sinned against you. I don't know, Lord, whether there's ever going to be any turning back. But God, if it's possible, give us revival in this land. But Lord, today, I'm simply, Lord, the little old shepherd down here in the middle of nowhere trying to feed the flock. And God, I'm going to give an account to you. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help me love these people enough and love you enough to tell the truth, to preach the word of God. And Lord, I pray, oh God, help us not to have fellowship with devils. Whether it's music, entertainment, whatever. God, help us to fellowship with you. Lord, more than anything in this world right now, as I head down the hill, I want to have close fellowship with you. I don't want to be wandering off somewhere. I want to walk close to you, God. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to do that in this church. Lord, I love you. Bless these people. Thank you, Lord, for their patience. God, I pray that you'll help them, Lord. In Jesus' name, let's stand. I've held you long today. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Amen. Thine the glory. Revive us again. Now, before we dismiss, here's what I'm going to suggest to you. Take this message and go home with it. And say, Lord, would you show me where I've been dancing with the devil? And Lord, deliver me from his allurement, from his deception. Help me to know, Lord, that he never does anything but lie to me. God, help me, Lord, to give my affection to you alone. Now, I don't know, I just got so much on my mind, my heart. I pray that God would just take what I didn't preach and bless it to your hearts. And I hope you have a wonderful day. The dogwoods are coming out and the redbuds will be out. Easter lilies will be going, the grass turning green. I want you to go enjoy the days that God's given you. You have a happy time. There's some things we can do something about and a lot of things we can't do nothing about. And I tell you, I want us to have the joy of the Lord for our strength. I know, you know, a message like this is heavy. But I don't want you to throw it off, but I also don't want you to make it heavy. You go home and say, tell you what, we're going to do our best that our family will not dance with the devil. That's all I ask you to do. You're dismissed. We'll see you back here tonight. We love you. If you're not saved, please believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, his death and his burial and his resurrection. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.